when we think then about this new idea of authentic inspiration, you can't help but first begin with Holy Scripture, this amazing institute called the Bible. You know, some have humorously referred to as basic instructions before leaving Earth. The contained in the Bible is the remarkable journey written in a plethora of genres about the human experience, that about good and evil, about fear, about hope, about transcendence, about repentance and forgiveness, and the incredible love and mercy of God, and all the implications that that can mean on the human experience. You know, I'm dismayed that for so many people in my profession, while they may keep up with the latest techniques and the latest, theories about intrapsychic conflict, the inability to draw from the Bible, even if they use it, to kind of segregate it as some peripheral issue, is disturbing and sad. To look at the human experience without considering looking at it through at least in part the lens of God's plan is sad. Many years ago, it was explained to me, and certainly I haven't read or heard anything that has made me change my mind. Philosophy was explained to me as, you know, that extra dimension from the purely scientific and deductive method, that philosophy is about man's search for truth. And as wonderful and as noble as that is, and necessary as that is, we have a discipline that even transcends that. That's theology, which, if philosophy is man's search for truth, theology is the story of God's search for man. You know, the ways that he has tried to inform us and support us and guide us and redeem us through all of human history. And so buoyed by these two perspectives, we have a chance to kind of putting ourselves in that light. The Bible, though, is not the only source of inspiration that we have. First of all, I hope a root of inspiration that we tap into, and that is when we see our own personal histories, when we see, and begin to revisit or sometimes learn for the first time the adventures, so to speak, of our ancestors or our own parents, as we remind ourselves of the lessons learned in our own lives and development as we hit upon the themes of childhood and adolescence and adulthood and the aging process in general, the brushes with our own mortality, the losses of loved ones, you know, that without the wisdom that comes from that, then we are missing something very profound, you know, and life can be tempered. One of the great illustrations of this was the great genius and prolific Christian writer C.S. Lewis, who wrote a seminal book on our mortality and life's transcendence in the book The Problem of Pain. Okay, but as amazing as that and necessary and useful as that book was then and remains today, he had another experience with the death of his wife, Joy, after their brief but whirlwind and remarkably complex relationship. But in the diary that he kept about her dying process and ultimate death, he wrote a book called A Grief Observed. And in this, you can hear the human struggle, that even as this genius and profound man of faith, he encountered the darkness of death, the suddenness. He described even feeling at one point that as he sought God at the most vulnerable time in his life, he felt a door slammed in his face and that the emptiness was startling. And it's only through a very profound and not necessarily dramatic process that he began to see God's plan of all, and that God's fierce loyalty had always been there, even though he couldn't touch it at the time. And so we learn a little bit more about our mortality. So this is important, that no matter what psychotropic medications or interesting cognitive behavioral techniques or analysis that come from our therapists and psychiatrists of the world, there's something remarkably missing without that perspective. In addition, you know, I'm always stunned at how few people have read great novels or great literature. You know, are one of the toxic effects, and I'm saying, you know, not too many of you, maybe I have had a hard time listening through this because it takes a while. We're used to, you know, this Bodio address to you is not like listening to TikTok or you know, and going through that experience with this quick turnover and stimulus, you know. Can we sit with an idea or a feeling and emotion long enough? And so when we think about the great literature, I mean, you know, how can a psychotherapist begin to work with a human being without visiting the depth and breadth of a character from Shakespeare's Macbeth or Hamlet, or his, you know, or the other great authors of, like Faulkner or Hemingway or Tolkien or many, many endless, you know, the ancient Greek writers and philosophers like Homer, you know, the brilliant work of Plato. And because in their depth of character, we begin to understand the human condition, and we also are able to link generations, you know, of this adventure. I remember as a 17-year-old student reading in Plato's Republic, Plato's remarkable observation. Remember, Plato is writing some 800 years, I believe, before the birth of Christ. And Plato notes, as he's spinning his wisdom, that, you know, that to be human means, he observed, that birds of a feather flock together. Plato calls that ancient. Yet that's a perspective that we've all heard and been told in our nursery rhymes and in our secular proverbs in life, but it shows you how common the human experience has been and the struggles that it has had. Another form of great wisdom is the art of music, of architecture, you know, how it elevates the human spirit. It allows us to see beyond our horizons. I notice how profoundly our culture seemed to be affected by the recent trip to the moon and some of the concrete desires to travel to other places on Earth. We're beginning to wonder about the size and scope and habitation within the universe, all of which, okay, should stir our process. Any therapist worth his salt will tell you that the most persistent presenting symptom of pain in the culture isn't an anxiety disorder or some clinical description or situation like marital separation. Those are there. No, the real most persistent universal trigger for therapy that spins off into all of those challenges is boredom. And that boredom is a modern phenomenon. Relative ancients, they didn't even have that word in the language, in virtually any culture. That's a modern phenomenon. There is no logical reason to be bored with the phenomenal amounts of drama and human pathos that exist in the world. So boredom requires a perspective of narcissism and self-centeredness that is pretty remarkable. You know, and so one of the things, great music and great art can lift us from that, you know. The other thing that saddens me is, because of the short attention spans, some of the great films of history that are remarkably profound and that most of the people I talked with have never seen. For example, a film that won the Academy Award, On the Waterfront, by an actor by the name of Marlon Brando, who may or may not be known to the listening audience, talks about it's a remarkable, gritty portrayal of the human experience. It involves a hard-drinking, fist-pumping priest who gets in and battles with the mob and with people who are being oppressed and used, and culminates in a scene reminiscent of Christ carrying his cross on Calvary. It's an incredibly powerful, realistic, and moving movie made in the late 1950s and still is poignant and relevant today. But most of the people that I know have never seen the movie. Okay, and so every chance I get, you know, and there are many other movies that fit. Ben-Hur, for example. How could anyone suffering from resentments, you know, not be moved and given a prescription for releasing that resentment without investing in the movie Ben-Hur? So what's a lot cheaper sometimes than paying for therapy is getting some good popcorn and a comfortable chair and heal. Use this to heal. Very important. Okay. And so we kind of move in summation without beating these themes to death here. Recognize that the human experience is still well worth living, that there's no reason to despair, but that Christ isn't some peripheral luxury, that in Christ, relevance, which is the greatest antidote to boredom, becomes obvious. That when every day becomes part of a journey towards Him, that we're honoring the kingdom that He has built, that we have been willed into a very existence for His purpose. Knowledge of that and awareness of that, even when we can't quite figure out what that purpose is, we can trust in His grace and the journey, that will anchor us. And so maybe we'll need psychotherapy or medication or a combination of things, but maybe we won't. That the first line of defense, I think, is, again, authentic inspiration, not the next therapist hanging a shingle in our town. So hope that's a few things to think of, and enjoy talking with you. Bye-bye.